I believe that God is saying to this church, and I believe this is what he's given me to share with you this morning, that for us as a church, we are in a season where God is calling us to come up higher. He is giving you an invitation this morning to come up higher into the things of him. It's an opportunity to experience more of him, an opportunity to go deeper with him, an opportunity to go higher with him. And it's not for our own sake, it's not for our own benefit, but it's for his name's sake and for his glory that we can do that this morning. And I believe that invitation to move to a higher level is an invitation that is open to you. No matter what stage of the journey you may be on with Jesus, there is an invitation to you this morning that says, come up higher. Come up higher into the things of the Lord this morning. If you don't even know Jesus this morning, there's an invitation to you that says, come, come, come. We've already sung about it. Come to the altar. Trade your ashes for joy this morning. Come to know him. Come into the realization of who he is. But if you already know him, I want to extend an invitation to you this morning that says, come up higher. Move to a new level in him. For some of you, it's time to take that first step into a deeper walk with Jesus. It's time to move out of a place of spiritual infancy and into the beginning of the journey towards spiritual maturity. For those of you who are further on in that journey, you may be operating inside of a gifting this morning, or you may be moving in several different spheres of gifting this morning. To you, I say, come up higher in the things of the Lord. There is more available to you this morning. There's a greater dimension for you to move into this morning. There is more that God wants to do in your life and through your life at this time. Come up higher in the things of the Lord. I believe there's new giftings available. There's new anointings available to move into. God is saying to this church, come up higher. And I believe there is a sense of urgency over that call. I don't believe that this is something, a general invitation for a general time for the church. This is specific for us today. Not for tomorrow, not for a week later, not for a month down the road, not for next year. This is for today. Come up higher, the Lord is saying. There's an urgency. There's an urgency that says it's now. Today is the time. I don't ever want to get to a place where, and we've heard this morning, been reminded now of how short life can be. It can be done just like that. And I want to ask you this morning, if your life was done just like that this morning, would you be happy with how it's gone? Would you be satisfied with what you've achieved for God? Would you be disappointed with how your life has gone? With the opportunities that you missed out on? For the things that you weren't willing to pay the price to get that were on offer to you? I have to answer honestly myself and say I would. I would be disappointed. I want more of him this morning. I want to come up higher into the ways of the Lord this morning. I want us as a church to go to another dimension, to come up higher, to go to a new level in God this morning. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For all who ask, receive, and all who seek, find. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. That is the invitation this morning, to come up higher, to ask and you shall receive, to seek and you shall find. No matter where you are this morning, there's a call on you and over this church, come up higher. Come up higher in the Lord. And it's for the hungry. I believe it's a call for the hungry. It's for those who are willing to ask. It's for those who are seeking change. It's for those who are looking for transformation. It's for those who are going to be willing to knock on heaven's door and to knock and to knock and to knock until it is open to you. We can't ever allow ourselves to get into a place where we allow a spirit of complacency or a spirit of contentment to come into our lives. We cannot afford to get into a place where we're so comfortable with the way that we live and the way that we operate and what we're seeing in our lives that we're not willing to move into a place where we can come up higher in the ways of God. We have to. I don't ever want to be one of those Christians who goes to church for 20 years but nothing ever changes in their life. What a disappointment that would be. What a disappointment that would be. I believe Jesus paid the price to transform our lives, to not leave us where we were, but to move us higher into new levels with him and to change us day by day, constantly from one degree of glory to another. That's the call this morning. I want you to be hungry this morning. I want you to be ready to move up to that higher level this morning, because that's where he's taken us. And my desire really is that every meeting we have, every Sunday that we're together, every small group midweek meeting we have, every time we meet one-on-one around a cup of coffee or in the cafe, in the dining room at the back there, every time that we meet together as Christians, we leave that meeting looking more like Jesus. Every time I open my Bible, every time I open my mouth to praise or pray, I want to leave that place looking more like Jesus. I want to leave that place going higher in Him, having gone higher in Him. And I believe there is always more with God. There is always more with God. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has heart imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." There is so much more with God. There is always more on offer with God. There's more than we've seen. There's more than we've heard about. There's more than we've imagined. And today, the invitation to you, to me, is to come up higher, to see some of these new things, to hear these new things, to imagine new things, and go to a higher level with God this morning. You know, the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John. And John had an amazing life. John was one of the 12 disciples who spent 3 years on earth walking with Jesus, listening to Him teach, seeing what He did, witnessing miracles. He was one of the three, along with Peter and James. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. And the Bible says that John even has a gate in heaven with his name written on it. His name isn't just in the book of life, it's in the architecture of heaven. John had this amazing life. And in the book of Revelation, which he wrote, in chapter 1, it describes how Jesus appears to John and gives him this message to write down to the seven churches in Asia. But it isn't Jesus as John remembers him from his time on earth. No, the Jesus that he sees is something completely different. It's the glorified Jesus. It's one like the Son of Man, whose hair was white as wool, whose eyes were like fire, whose feet were like burnished bronze, and the sound of his voice was like a mighty rushing wither. And out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. This is Jesus glorified, clothed in his glory, and John's reaction to that is to fall down dead at his feet. And then Jesus gives him a message. And he spends the next two chapters writing this message to the seven churches of Asia. But then, interestingly, something happens. Chapter 4, verse 1 starts like this. "After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" All that John had experienced, all that he had tasted in his life, all that he had seen, everything that he'd done, all that he'd written down, even seeing Jesus revealed in his glory, there was still a higher dimension for him to go to. If it were true for John, who had seen so much greatness, how much more true is it for us today? There is always more with God. There is always a higher place to go to with God. And this morning, he is saying to you and to me, it is time. It's time to come up higher. Don't wait any longer. Today is the day. Come up higher in me. And I believe that God always calls us up higher when he wants to take us to a new level, when he wants to take us to a new dimension. In Proverbs 15:24, it says, "The path of life leads upward for the prudent to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead." In Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And even in Exodus 24, verse 1, God says to Moses, "Come up to the Lord." When God wants to reveal himself, when he wants to reveal himself at a new level, he wants to take us to a new level. And it always involves a call to go up higher. And I believe that's the call that God has to this church this morning. Come up higher in a new level, because I'm getting ready to show you new things and to do new things among you this morning. And it's a call for the hungry. It's a call for those who desire it. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." When God is about to display his glory, he calls his people to arise. I believe the call over this church this morning is to arise, is to come up higher. Go to that new level. put yourself in a place where you're willing to go. Answer the upward call. If you want to see things change in your life, if you want to see this community really transformed and people moved out of a place of darkness and into the light of Jesus, the call this morning is come up higher. And to do that, we need to discover inside of ourselves a holy dissatisfaction that says, I am not okay with the status quo. I will not settle for anything less than God desires for me to have. I will not settle for less than Jesus died to give me. I will not settle for it. I will not allow complacency and contentment in anywhere, in any place of my life. I'm going to press on. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to arise and let my light shine before all people. It's not about hiding under a basket anymore. It's about becoming the lampstand, becoming the light on the lampstand, which gives light to the whole house. That is the call. You know, in Revelation 3, just going back to that, when John writes to the church in Laodicea, he says, because you were neither hot, because you were neither cold, because you were lukewarm, if you do not turn and repent from your ways, God will spew you out of his mouth. To me, that is the single most sobering verse in the entire Bible. I don't ever want to be a part of a church or be a person who's lukewarm for God. I don't think that we are. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it's time to come up higher. Let's be hot. Let's not be cold or lukewarm. Let's be a people on fire for God. You know, I didn't come here today seeking to stay the same as I came in when I left. I want to be different. I want to be more like Jesus. That's what I desire, and I hope that's what you desire too. I do not like the sound of being spewed out of his mouth. I don't want to be in that place. I want to be in a place that when my days are done and I breathe my last breath, I will go to my resting place knowing confidently that when I get there, he will look me in the eye and say, well done, good and faithful servant, because I didn't leave anything on the side. I put it all on the line for him. And that's where I want to be this morning. That's where I believe that he is calling us to go. He is calling us up to that higher place this morning where it's no longer okay to settle for second best. It cannot ever be that way. We cannot be prepared to settle for anything less than the fullness of the life that he died to give us. And what is that life, you ask? In John 10:10, it says, a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus speaking, that you may have life. And life in all its fullness, or life in abundance in some translation. And that word life is the Greek word zoe, zoe, and it means life, absolutely possessed of vitality. It's real and it's genuine and it's active and authentic. And it's vigorous and it's devoted to God and it's blessed. It's blessed in this world and it's blessed further in the time and the ages to come. That's the kind of life that God is calling us to lead. That is the kind of life that you were born again to have. That is the kind of life that I believe the world needs the church to live. The world needs a church possessed of people who are living that full and abundant life so that we can become the light that illuminates the whole house. And there are so many people, again, we've heard, again, the reminder this morning of the people who are walking in darkness this morning. There is so much darkness in this world, and the world is crying out for a light. The world is crying out for a people to arise and to live the life that God has called them to live so we can become that light that shines in the darkness, because that's who Jesus has chosen us to be. He's chosen us to be the church, the sons and daughters of God, to be the ones who carry the light to those living in the darkness so that they might know that the light shines in the darkness and that the darkness cannot nor ever will it overcome that light. That's who we're called to be this morning. And I think it's really important that we get hold of this, because God has chosen you. He hasn't chosen your neighbor. He hasn't chosen, well, he might have done, but I'm speaking this specifically. He's chosen you. Don't think that he ever hasn't chosen you. You're here for purpose this morning. You were destined for this. You were born for such a time as this. It's the life that you were born again to lead. And it's so important that we get hold of this morning, because one of the main reasons I believe this church needs to go higher is that in order for us to live that life that he's called us to live, is that we need to become aware that we need to live based not according to our location, but according to our position. Now let me unpack that a little bit. What do I mean by that? Because those words sound very similar, but they're not the same thing. Let's consider the location we're in. this morning, you are all in the location of Birchwood. Some of you may live locally, some of you I know live further afield, some of you in different countries even. But you are all of us are located physically on earth. We're all located there. That's where we are located. But while we're located here on earth, I think the Bible tells us something very different about where we're positioned. In Ephesians 2, 6, it says, He has raised us up and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, our temporary location is here on earth, but our eternal position is in heaven, seated with Christ Jesus. We're called to live out lives in this location, to be in the world, but to live that life out and based off the position that we're in the heavenly places with God, to be not of the world. Live in the world locationally, but be not of the world positionally. And the call to come up higher is a call to move out of a place where you're content to live a life that's based on your location. It's a call to move into a place where you are only content to live in a place that's based on your position. When we live according to our location, I think we trade the promises of God for the problems of earth. And we live lives that are short of what he died to give us, because we allow the circumstances of life, we allow the people within our lives, those in our workplace, those in our family, those around us in the community, to dictate how we think, how we behave, what we say and what we do, what we believe even. We live according to that way that seems right to a man. And when we're subject to all of those things and we live according to our position, what we're doing is taking our light that's in us and hiding it under a basket. But conversely, when we live according to our position, I believe we can trade the problems of this earth, of this world, for the promises of heaven. And we can live in the fullness of that and in the reality of that. And we can live in the light of what he's done for us and what he's set us free from, so that we no longer have to carry the worry and the hurt and the pain of a broken world, because we were never designed to. And we can let our light shine. When we live in that position, we can live according to that position, and we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we let that light shine so that they may see how we live and what we do, and see the light that's within us and ask why. Why? And that's why we always must be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, because we're expected, the way we live is expected to generate questions about why we live that way. I want to go a bit deeper on this morning as well, though, because we're not quite there with this yet. Because I don't think that this verse that we've looked at in Ephesians doesn't just say that we're in heavenly places. It says we're seated with Jesus. In Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, this is what it says about Jesus. Paul writes this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. For above, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Jesus is seated in heavenly places. He is sat at the right hand of the Father. And it's important that we understand the significance of that, because sitting down is an important position. It has significance. It indicates victory. Because if the war was still raging, if the war was still in the balance, would Jesus be sitting? No, he wouldn't. But he is. He's sat at the right hand of the Father. And it doesn't just indicate that he's the victor either. It also indicates that he's ruling. In 1 Peter 3, verse 22, it says, Jesus has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Not only that, but Jesus, who is ruling with all of the authorities subjected to him, is the head of the church, which is what I and you belong to. You and I are members of that body to which he is the head. And we are seated with him. We are hidden with him. And even now, we are positioned inside of that victory. Even now, we are positioned in that place of victory that he won through his death and resurrection. And more than that, as the head of the church, we are under his authority. And when we are under his authority, we can work in his authority. When we come under his authority, we can work in his authority. And that's the call this morning, is to come up higher, to move into a place where you no longer live according to your earthly location, but you live according to that eternal position, moving and working in victory under his authority, in his authority. And what does all that mean? It means that while we live according to our position, we're still actually located here on earth. And that means that each and every single one of you who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ are uniquely placed because of your eternal position on this temporary location to bring the atmosphere and the kingdom of heaven to earth. You are positioned in heaven, but you're located on earth to be a conduit through which the kingdom of heaven flows and advances on earth. That's where you are this morning. That's why it's so important that we grab hold of this fact that we need to live according to our position, not according to our location, so that we can live that life that Jesus died to give us. So we can do what it is that he's given us to do, so we can become all that he promised we would be, and so that rivers of living water would flow out from within us. I believe that this nation and this area and this world are crying out for a people who are willing and ready to live a life in a location that's based off an eternal position, seated in Christ, walking in victory, moving in his authority. For the church and for us today, I believe that's the call to come up higher. Come up higher, to put away those things of old and put on the things of new, to become who you were destined to be, because I don't believe that anybody has ever been born again to live an ordinary life. What a disappointment that would be, to be born again but never change. To be born again but not take hold of what it is that God died to give us. Let's not be that people. Let's be a people who are willing to come up to a new place, to go into all creation, to disciple the nations, to declare the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, and the redemption of the lost, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. That is the life that he died to give us. Don't be tempted to settle for second best. Don't allow a spirit of complacency and contentment to come in and rob you of that promise that God has over your life. He has so much more for you to do this morning, and it's time for you to stand up. It's time for me to stand up. Today is the day to choose to come up higher in God. This is not for tomorrow. Today is the day we decide to run. We must go forward. We must take this baton on. We must run. And you know what the key is? If you want to do this, if you want to be a person who comes up higher, who takes hold of the promises of God in your life and walks in victory and walks out in his authority, the key to opening that door in your life, I believe, is humility. Humility. Matthew 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the poor in spirit means those who are humble enough to recognize that they need God in their lives, in every season of their lives. If we want to come up higher in the things of God, we need to remain humble in him. It's a strange dichotomy. In the kingdom of heaven, the further you go, the higher you go, the longer you walk with him, the more, not less, you become aware of your dependence on him. If you want to go higher with God this morning, you have to become more aware of your dependence on him. We have to become a humble people and stay humble, to rely on Jesus and not on ourselves. I think the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest Christians of all time. He had direct encounters with Jesus. He saw the risen Jesus. In fact, he was taught one-on-one by the risen Jesus. He received his revelation direct from him, and he traveled across the world spreading the gospel, performing signs and wonders and miracles and healing people and resurrecting them. He did all of these amazing, wonderful things, and yet he regarded himself as the chief of all sinners. That's humility. That's a humble man if ever I've seen it, who was so aware, Paul was so painfully aware of his full reliance on God because he'd positioned himself in a place where he could only accomplish what it was that God wanted him to do if he would fully rely on God to get him through it. And that's where we need to go this morning. If we want to come up higher and take hold of the life he died to give us, we need to put ourselves in a place where we're fully reliant on him. We have to. Humility leads the way, I believe, to a higher relationship with Jesus. A life that says, I need you, God, in every area of my life. Not just some, not just the areas I'm willing to give up, not just the areas that I don't really like or don't mind if you take control of, Lord, but in every area of my life. Come into all of it, Lord. Come into my financial life, Lord. Come into my relational life, Lord. Come into my sex life, Lord, and have it all because he wants it all. He wants to lead all of our lives. He wants us to be fully reliant on him. He wants us to get into a place where we cannot get through a day without being in his presence, where we cannot go a day without opening his word because his word is a lamp to our feet, where we can't get through a day without praying to him because praying to him releases us from all our anxieties. We have to get into that place where we're willing to come up higher in him by spending time with him and learning to depend on him so that we can walk out the life he died to give us. We have to read the word every day. We have to pray every day. In fact, in a few weeks' time, we're having a 24-hour prayer event here at church, and we'll be sending out more information about that soon, but I would encourage you to come along and be part of that this morning. And I would encourage you, don't let it just be a one-off. If you're not somebody who prays regularly, I know it can be one of the more difficult disciplines to develop in your life. But you know this, often passions begin as disciplines. And sometimes we just have to make a stand and say, Lord, I choose today to pray to you. I choose to spend time with you. And if we make that decision day after day after day after day, pretty soon that discipline becomes a passion. And you can't get through a day without spending time with him. So we're having that 24-hour prayer day. Let that be a day that we kickstart a new level of prayer in this church. If we want to, as a church, go up to that higher place, we need to develop a prayer life that's going to support us when we're there and on the way there. And humility is so important to us. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's the small gate. It's the narrow road that leads to life. And that word life, it's the word zoe again. The full life, that authentic life, that real life that's filled with a fullness of God. If you want to get into that place, if you want to get through that small gate and stay on that narrow road, we have to become humble enough to live a life without baggage. To enter through that small gate requires us to put our baggage down. To go to a higher place, we can't carry any of the baggage that we've had from our past. We can't carry what we carried last year when we're looking to go higher next year. We can't do it. That means that if we've carried fear or worry or anxiety or unforgiveness or attitudes of selfishness in previous seasons, we have to embrace the call to come up higher, to put those things down, to take up that Zoe life that he died to give us, that full life. There's no room for bickering. There's no room for bitterness. There's no room for the he said, she said, and the I only did that because she did this. There's no room for that kind of baggage if you want to come up higher in the ways of God. If you want to move into the life that he died to give you, the full life, that baggage has to go. It's the only way we can get through the narrow gate and stay on that narrow road. And I believe that humility is the key to living that life. It's the key to going higher with God. Proverbs 18, verse 12 says, humility comes before honor. And 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. When we want to go to a higher level, we want to answer the call to come up higher into the things of God, we need to start with humility. Recognize that we need God in every area of our life, every day of our life, to take us to the place that he's destined us to go and to become the people that he's purchased us to be. We need to rely on God. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to what he's saying to us and do what he's asking us to do. And if you're sat there thinking this morning, why would God choose me? I don't know anything. I'm nobody special. I haven't even understood half of what you've been saying this morning, Pete. How could I possibly be chosen by God or used by him for anything? If that's you this morning, if those are the thoughts that are going through your mind this morning, I want to tell you that you are exactly the type of person that God would choose. You are exactly the type of person that is that God is saying to you this morning, come up higher in me. Come up higher in me. You know, when Jesus declared that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not stand against it, he chose to do that in the most religious city in the world, in Jerusalem. The place where doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, looking the wrong way would get you thrown into jail, get you beaten up, get you flogged, or worse. And not only that, he chose to do it in the most religious city in the world, at a time when the most religious city in the world was ruled and occupied by one of the most evil and tyrannical empires the world has ever known, the Roman Empire. An empire so destructive and so evil that they created a method of execution that was so painful, we had to come up with a new word to describe it. Excruciating, which literally means from the cross. It's into that atmosphere that Jesus begins to build his church. And if that was you or I on that mission, if we were going to go and establish a church in a place like that, under the government of an empire like that, who would we choose? Probably the most shrewd politicians we could find. Maybe the strongest soldiers we could get a few of them in. We'll get some of the best academics the world has ever seen. We'll get some of the best businessmen with a great financial record and some of the best bankers to help us make the most of what we need to set it up. But Jesus doesn't work like that. When Jesus established his church in that place at that time, in that atmosphere, he chose fishermen. He chose ex-prostitutes. He chose former terrorists and conspirators. And he used them to build his church. And if he can use people like that to start a movement that lasts 2,000 years, I believe that he can use you and me to impact this community, to impact our families, to change this place that we live in, to change this nation, to heal this land, if we are willing to answer his call to come up higher in the ways of the Lord. Because he delights in using those who are weak. Because his power is made perfect in our weakness. And I believe that when we realize how powerless without him we are, we become some of the most powerful people in spreading his message and bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. I'm going to ask the band to come back and we'll get ready to close this morning. And you may be sat there thinking, do you know what? I like the sound of what I've heard this morning and it's challenged me, but I feel inspired and encouraged. Well, I hope that's what you're thinking anyway. If that's you this morning, you might be thinking, well, how do I respond to that call to come up higher? How do I respond to it? You respond by saying yes. If you don't know Jesus yet this morning, if you've never asked him to be Lord and Savior in your life, if you've not put your full trust in him this morning, you can take that first step on the journey by saying yes. It's as easy as that. You just say yes. That's how you respond to him today. For those who would like to know more about him, say yes to his word. Say yes to getting into his word and reading it every day. Say yes to coming into his presence and praying and just resting in him every day of your life. For those who want to live that full Zoe life that he died to give us, all we need to do is say yes. Say yes to him. Answer the call to come up higher this morning by choosing to say yes and begin to live the life that he died to give us, a life where we become, as Life Church Lincoln, bold as lions in bringing heaven to earth. You operate in the giftings that you have as a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And if you've not received the Spirit this morning, I want to pray for you. And I believe that God is going to impart to you the Holy Spirit this morning. If that's you, please come forward at the end. We'll pray for you. But if you've already received that and you know what it is that God has gifted you with this morning, you begin to operate in that gifting. If you don't know that gifting yet this morning, again, come forward and pray and we'll ask God to release it and reveal it to you. but begin to operate in that gifting. You know, if you are somebody who is called to be an intercessor, then rise up and intercede. If you're somebody who has been gifted the gift of prophecy, then rise up and begin to prophesy. Prophesy over the church. Prophesy over your neighbors. Prophesy over your family. Prophesy over your sons and your daughters, over your schools, over your hospitals, over this city. Prophesy, encourage, edify, build up. If you're called to preach, preach the word in and out of season. Move in the gifting that God has given you to move in. Operate inside of it. Practice hospitality. Let's open up our homes. Let's live radical, generous lives that declare the goodness of God, because freely we've received, so let us freely give. Let's be men and women who dream God-sized dreams. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon my people. Your sons and daughters will dream dreams. They'll have visions. They will prophesy. Let's be those sons and daughters who have visions and dreams. And let's prophesy. Let's speak to those dreams. Let's call those visions into being. Let's see that. Let's walk it out in our lives. Let's be those people who are willing to move forward and release those dreams, release those visions over our communities, over our families, over our schools, hospitals, communities, and cities. Let's, this morning, answer the call that God has given us to come up higher. Become who you were born again to be. Embrace the life that God died to give you. Look to what is ahead. Press on to the future, not caring about what's happened, what's done and been and gone. Jesus has done away with all of the sin that you carry, and now he's given you the life. Take hold of it this morning. Answer the call. Come up higher in him this morning. Share what you've received. Because the alternative is living a life that's short of what he died to give us. Let's not be a people who are satisfied to live that life. Let's not be a people who are willing to trade for less. Let's not be a people who miss out on the fullness of the life that's on offer. Let's answer the call this morning. The call this morning over this church, I believe, for today is to come up higher, is to arise and shine, because the light has come and his name is Jesus Christ. And he has called each and every single one of you and me to be that light, to carry his light, to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Will you answer the call this morning? Will you answer the call? Let's stand to our feet and let's worship him.
Storm surrounding me, let it break at your name still. Call these seas to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing. Once again I will praise. Breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing. Once again praise. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is light that the shadows can deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is light the shadows can deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Just feel it's really important that we make a response to what we've just heard this morning. So I said, this message came with a urgency behind it. This is a call for today. This is a call for right now. Not tomorrow, not a month down the line or a week later. This is a call for today. So I want you to think really carefully, if you haven't already, consider, am I willing to answer this call? If that is you this morning, I'm going to invite you to be bold and brave and step forward. Come to the front this morning. If you want to answer that call this morning, if you want to take hold of the fullness of life that Jesus died to give you, if you want everything that he has for you, if you are willing to answer the call to come up higher, to be living a life that is eternally positioned in heaven, but located on earth to bring the kingdom to earth, I'm going to invite you to come forward right now.